Have your Bibles, if you'll turn, please, to Luke chapter 4. Our text today, Luke 4, and verses 31 through 44. Beginning now in Luke 31. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Ha! What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What is this teaching? With authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits, and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people, shouting, "You're the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Oh Lord, we pray now that we would experience the power of your holy, inerrant, infallible word. Lord, teach us from your word. Lord, may your spirit come and fill this place with your word. Press it into our hearts and minds, we pray. Lord, our prayer is that we would hear your voice and your voice only. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. The title of my sermon today was one of the subheadings listed from David Wells' book, God in the Wasteland. In that section of his book, Wells says that a cultural trend which has seeped into the church with tragic results is the general collapse of authority. This has led the church to abandon the transcendent Word of God, the very means by which it understands God. This has led the church to look to the self as a substitute for the Word of God. The people of our day more and more look to the self as their only authority. It was far different in the first century. The Jews of Galilee were subject to the overarching authority of Rome. They had been conquered by Rome. They were not free in the sense that people in this country are free. They were dominated by Rome, and Rome's law was the law of the land. In addition, they were under the authority of the religious leaders. The Pharisees and Sadducees laid heavy burdens on the people through their teaching and imposing of strict rituals and the requirements that they laid on them, both in the local political sphere, where they still had some measure of influence under Rome, but more so in the overarching religious sphere. It was into that sphere of competing and dominating authorities that Jesus came preaching and teaching. In our text today, we see our text bracketed by Jesus teaching and preaching in the synagogues of Capernaum and Judea. You will see there in verse 31, when he came down to Capernaum on the Sabbath, he began to teach the people. verse 44, he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. That makes a nice little bracketing of our text, this preaching and teaching of Jesus. And the scripture says the people were amazed at his teaching. And the scripture lays out for us one simple reason for their amazement. There at the end of verse 32, because his message had authority. Now, how is it that people whose lives are dominated by an authoritarian civil and religious system are amazed and even frightened by this authority of Jesus? The word that the NIV translates as amazed in the Greek literally has the import of meaning to knock a person senseless by some strong feeling like fear. You see, Jesus struck a chord not found in the civil authorities or with the rabbis. When the civil authorities rebuked someone, corrected someone, arrested someone, they quoted the Roman law. When the rabbis taught, they quoted as their authority other rabbis. And so much of what they taught civilly and religiously, even as it is the case today, was outside the Word of God. They set aside the Word of God for their laws, their traditions. But the people saw in Jesus one whose authority came from God, not what others said. Jesus' very words were his authority. Authority is the theme of this text. The word occurs twice, and we see it exercised at least four times. We see Jesus' authority over the demonic world, over sickness, over the physical operations of the human body. In short, over the effects of sin in this world. He executed this authority in the synagogue. He executed it in public places and in private homes. Jesus amazed the people with his authoritative words. Words spoken with the unique authority of the Son who alone knows the Father. And, as was so often the case throughout Jesus' ministry, his authoritative words were punctuated by a demonstration of his authority over every sphere of existence. And they were punctuated with miraculous manifestations of that authority. In the case at hand, we see sickness and demons alike yielding to his command. Notice that it was his word. He commanded, he ordered, and demons and germs and viruses and fevers and weaknesses of the body all responded. Jesus casts out demons, and we see here a small glimpse of Christ the King, the one before whom every knee will bow and every tongue confess, as we read earlier this morning. We see Jesus' dominion over demons and disease in so many cases in the Gospels that we often, I think, fail to understand what is set forth. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. Nothing can challenge his authority. He commands the demons to be quiet, to come out of people, and they can do nothing but obey. In addition, Jesus Christ is the great physician. He is the one who is appointed by God the Father as the healer of every sickness, every disability, every disease, in short, of every evil that sin has brought into the world. He alone is the healer of that greatest sickness. He alone is the healer of souls. If you would be made whole, you must come to Him. You must come to Jesus for that healing. Everything we need for body and soul, life and peace, comfort and security, hope in this life and in death is found only in Christ. But you must come to Christ. No one who stayed home that evening in Capernaum were healed. Only those who came to Christ were healed. If you would be healed of your great sickness of the soul, you must come to Jesus. Who can act in such a way as this but God? Jesus rebukes the demons and they obey. He rebukes the fever in Peter's mother-in-law and it leaves. I've said that many times in your hearing. There is not one stray molecule in this whole universe that operates outside of God's will. There is not one stray molecule in this universe that operates outside the authority of Jesus Christ. Every virus, as tiny as they are, every sickness, every molecule, every demon, even the operations of the human body operate under Christ's authority. Peter's mother-in-law got up from her sick bed immediately and began to cook supper, began to minister to them. She got up and began to attend to the needs of the people in Peter's house. And I don't know how many people that was, but with Jesus there, it was probably a large gathering. But she got up immediately from her fever, from her sick bed, and began to minister. You know yourself, if you have been ill with the flu, if you've had this latest round of whatever it is that has been going around, you know even when you start recovering, you know even when you begin to start feeling strong and well again, it takes several days to get your strength back. Not Peter's mother-in-law. She got up full of energy, vitality. She was completely restored to strength. Not only was the sickness gone, she was restored to a full measure of strength at once. Notice also, it's not just fevers. Jesus is not a specialist like the doctors we have today. The text says that people came with various kinds of sickness. All who were sick and came to Jesus were healed. Many were demon-possessed also. But one thing stands over it all. Jesus exercised His authority. He demonstrated that He is indeed God in the flesh. The earthly work of Jesus announced that the devil and his demons have been deprived of their power. The one sent by God has authority. He has the authority to destroy the works of the devil. And the works of the devil are many, but none are more insidious than that sense of autonomy, autonomos. That's the root of that word. You know what auto means? Self. If you have an automatic transmission, you don't have to shift gears in your car. It does it itself. Nomos is law. Self-law. Self-rule. That has infected the human race from the time of our first parents. You too shall be like God is buried deep within our sinful selves. And this substitution of self as the supreme authority denies God and rejects the authority of His Word and His Christ. We are plagued with this. We want to put ourselves in the place of God. We want to deny God's authority and substitute ourselves into that place. This is not unbelief in regard to Christ. This is a rejection of Christ's authority. It is not a lack of knowledge about Jesus. It is knowledge unaccompanied by saving faith. It is clear from the examples in our text that the demons had a clear knowledge of Jesus. Even more so, I believe, than most, if not all, the people in Capernaum. The demons knew more about Jesus than the people there in Capernaum to whom Jesus was preaching and teaching and ministering. Just look at the words of the demons. "I know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth. You are the Holy One of God. You are the Son of God." They knew Jesus was the second person of the Trinity, the one sent from the Father. They knew they could not resist Jesus' commands. They were aware of his power and authority, and they were filled with terror. "Have you come to destroy us?" They knew that if that was the case, they would be destroyed. They knew if that was the case, they would be sentenced by the judge. They knew Jesus would be their judge at the last day. But in spite of all their knowledge, they were still demons. Miserable, fallen beings without hope and full of hate for mankind, for God, and his work. This brings me to a fearful warning, but one I feel I must give. Beware of knowledge without faith. I believe it has become very common in our day to possess some knowledge of Christianity, to be able to talk Christian talk and not actually be a Christian. All you have to do is look at the surveys. Large percentages of Americans claim to be Christians. Something around 90% of the people in this country say they believe in God. And I believe no text in all of Scripture addresses that so well and ties in so well with our text today as James 2:19. James wrote, "You believe that there is one God? Great. Even the demons believe that, and they tremble." The demons that Jesus cast out there in Capernaum believed he was the Son of God. They believed he was the Holy One of God. They knew he was the Christ. They knew he was able to destroy them. They knew they were subject to him and must obey him. But they're not Christians. They're forever lost and destined for the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. I will tell you that the things those demons confessed about Jesus are more than what many people who call themselves Christians today believe. Because far, far too many people who identify themselves by Christ's name, who call themselves Christians, have relocated their religious authority from an external source such as the Bible to an internal source such as their own feelings, their own opinions. All one has to do is to look at how the church in many quarters today regards these miracles of Christ. Demon possession is called epilepsy. No demons. These people were just ignorant of all the medical advances we've made. It was just epilepsy. And the miraculous cures are chalked up to unscientific and undiscerning views by the ignorant, backward people who reported such things. The people of our day have placed their so-called knowledge as the judge over what God has declared in His Word. They decide what is to be believed and what is not. They have replaced the authority of God's Word. They have replaced the authority of Christ with the only authority they accept as legitimate, and that is the authority of their own private opinions. But what happens when people place the authority of self alongside of or even over the Word of God? What happens when the only real authority that people will accept is the authority of their personal preference? Well, let me tell you, we will have people who know the Bible intellectually. We will even have people who may know thousands of Bible verses, have much of Scripture committed to memory. We will have people who may be able to define the chief doctrines of Scripture. But people who also reject the authority of Scripture over their lives, people who reject the authority of Scripture over their conduct, their hearts, and their consciences, people who in reality are no better than demons. There is no sense of truth or right in their view of Scripture. And their knowledge is not anchored in anything more substantial than their own preferences. They have set themselves up as the final authority, exactly as Satan suggested to our first parents. You too shall be like God. That's our disease. And that is the authority that we desire in our sinful, wicked selves, rather than bowing to the authority of God and Christ. Charles Simeon said, to hate the authority of Christ and His Word is exactly the same as to hate His personal authority when He was on earth. That is a powerful statement. Listen again. To hate the authority of Christ and His Word is exactly the same as to hate His personal authority when He was on earth. That puts you in the camp of most of the Pharisees and Sadducees who hated Christ, who hounded Him until they were able to kill Him. Christ taught differently than all those who were in authority in Israel. His words stirred amazement and fear because He was the one who bore the unique authority of God the Father. And He still teaches with that authority today through His Word. And He still heals the greatest sickness of all, the sickness and bondage of sin. He creates new life in those that are dead in trespasses and sins. He changes hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. He implants the gift of faith in those new hearts. He does all this by the power of His Holy Spirit, by His own authority. He gives faith. He changes hearts. He makes a new creation in that which is dead, that they might believe and be saved. And He does all this by His own authority. We must accept Jesus' authority. We must accept Him as Savior and as Lord. Paul says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Too often today we hear people say, I believe in Jesus. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And they believe that that confession alone equals salvation and guarantees them a ticket and a place in heaven. But they will not submit to Christ's authority. They refuse to submit to his rule. They refuse to submit to his word as the rule for their lives. They refuse to acknowledge their sin. They refuse to call sin what God calls sin. They refuse to acknowledge God's word, Christ's word, Christ's authority. They refuse to acknowledge their sin, and they constantly place their own authority of feeling and preference and opinion over the authority of Christ. In short, they refuse to confess that Jesus is Lord. They will spend their lives confessing, I know that Jesus is the Son of God. I know that Jesus of Nazareth is the Holy One of God. I know that Jesus is the Christ. And in all that, they have said nothing better, nothing more than the demons. And in the end, there will be no better than the demons who themselves refused to submit to the lordship and authority of Christ. We never know Jesus as Lord until we love his presence, until we love his authority over us, until we delight in his commands. Only the recognition of Jesus' supreme authority can deliver us from the dangers, the great dangers, the eternal dangers of our own self-proclaimed authority. Now let's pray. Lord, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for delivering us. Lord, thank you for redeeming us. It was not that we loved you, but that you loved us and sent your Son to be the perfect sacrifice for our sin. He is our Lord and Savior. Lord, help us, we pray. Help us to submit willingly, lovingly to that authority. And Lord, help us in your church. Help us as we go out into the world, as we hear other people profess Jesus but reject his authority. Help us to speak forth the word of truth clearly, powerfully, boldly, with great love in our hearts. Lord, help us as your people to show our submission to that authority, to proclaim that all the world is to be subject to Jesus Christ, that every knee should bow to him, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. To your Father praise and glory, O Father. And we pray that you would strengthen us to that end. We pray these things in the precious and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.